Remembering former President George Herbert Walker Bush. The passing of our 41st President, George Herbert Walker Bush, overwhelmed me with personal grief. I remembered an open letter to the clergy with his signature, and an invitation requesting the honor of my presence to attend his inauguration, 31 years ago, Friday, January 20, 1989. Prior to receiving the open letter and invitation from President Bush, the Lord gave me a vision that the President came to the church and articulated, "I appreciate what you have done for the church." I told the congregation about the prophetic vision. Approximately 2 weeks later, I received the open letter and invitation to the presidential inauguration. He was emphatic in his open letter concerning his faith in God, and his wife's faith in God, in which he exemplified by sending me, an American woman of color, an invitation asking me to attend his inauguration. The Daily newspaper did not report any other pastor in that region receiving an invitation and open letter. Although I am not a registered Republican, he was the only president who sent me a letter specifically requesting prayer and spiritual guidance for leadership, which are essential for the tranquility and unity of our nation. I complied with the president's request and prayed for him, and his administration, as he crossed racial, ethnic, gender, religious, and political lines in pursuit of national unity. Obviously, he was not racist. Apostle Paul inspired Timothy to pray for all people, and for those who lead nations. 1 Timothy 2:1-2, I exhort therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings' leaders, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The wise preacher, King Solomon, proclaimed, Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I perceived it as an honor, which came from God, motivating and inspiring me to proceed to expand the ministry, under the leadership of his Holy Spirit. I received this scripture from the Lord many years ago, St. Luke 1:45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. It was that powerful inspiration, which subsequently led me to do God's will. In 1995, the Lord allowed me to purchase 3.54 acres of commercial property in Valdosta, Georgia, to build a new sanctuary for praying, teaching, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hired two skilled architects and a structural engineer to fulfill the task of providing architectural drawings of a steel frame building with red iron and brick veneer according to the design in which the Spirit of the Lord had given me. I received the occupancy permit March 15, 1999. In 2006, I hired a skilled architect to provide architectural drawings of another steel frame building with brick veneer according to the design in which God had revealed to me for the new fellowship hall/library. I received the occupancy permit November 12, 2007. In 2008, the Lord inspired me to enclose the property with an ornamental fence with columns, to beautify the house of God. The Lord revealed to me in 2013 to have a dual outdoor electronic sign built to display the Holy Scriptures for the glory of God. March 8, 2018, I purchased 22.23 acres of land for the church. July 25, 2018, I initiated posting sermons on Bloomfield Patch, an internet media publication serving my neighbors in the Bloomfield Hills, Michigan community, with a sermon titled, God's Vehement Indignation Against the Sin of Hate. In 2020, I published an e-book of 60 sermons titled Divine Intelligence Beyond the Human Mind, registered, from the Spiritual University of God. In 2023, I developed 5 acres of the church's 22.23 acres of land for a private cemetery. My ministerial journey also consists of more than 200 audio sermons. The Lord miraculously enabled us to purchase 3.54 acres of land, built the sanctuary, fellowship hall/library, ornamental fence, dual outdoor electronic sign, purchase an additional 22.23 acres of land, and develop a 5-acre private cemetery for the church debt-free. There was no selling to raise funds, and we do not accept any gambling money. Jesus chastised the fundraisers and businessmen in St. John 2:13-16. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting, and, he drove them all out of the temple, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said, Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Less than 50 people, who dedicated themselves to God, and paid their tithes and offerings, contributed to this work. However, the Lord enabled me to be the greatest contributor to the work of God. Jesus declared, St. Matthew 7:14, Narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it eternal life. If we are to be great in the sight of Jesus Christ, we must be humble and obedient to Him, and sacrifice for the kingdom of heaven. St. Matthew 18:1-4, At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The wise preacher, King Solomon, declared, Proverbs 18:12, Before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. I believe that President George Herbert Walker Bush was a great man of God because of his humility, faith, and obedience. Psalm 8:4-5, What is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Jesus Christ gave him glory and honor in this life, and saved his soul. Revelation 21:7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.